particularly if you were working in a delicate area, as the NPS was. McPherson had long since evolved the horseradish peroxidase principle of grant applications. It was simple enough. When you applied for money, you announced that the money would be spent to find the enzyme horseradish peroxidase, which could lead to a cure for cancer. You would easily get $60,000 for that project, although you couldn't get 60 cents for mind control. He looked at the row of charts on the shelf, a row of unfamiliar names into which Benson HF710 merged indistinguishably. In one sense, he thought, Benson was correct. He was a walking time bomb. A man treated with mind control technology was subject to all sorts of irrational public prejudice. Heart control, in the form of cardiac pacemakers, was considered a wonderful invention. Kidney control through drugs was a blessing. But mind control was evil, a disaster, even though the NPS control work was directly analogous to control work with other organs. Even the technology was similar. The atomic pacemaker they were using had been developed first for cardiac applications. But the prejudice remained, and Benson thought of himself as a ticking time bomb. McPherson sighed, took out the chart again, and flipped to the section containing doctor's orders. Both Ellis and Morris had written post-op care orders. McPherson added, After interfacing tomorrow a.m., begin Thorazine. He looked at the note, then decided the nurses wouldn't understand interfacing. He scratched it out and wrote, After noon tomorrow, begin Thorazine. As he left the floor, he thought that he would rest more easily once Benson was on Thorazine. Perhaps they couldn't defuse the time bomb, but they could certainly drop it into a bucket of cold water. Chapter 7. Late at night, in telecomp, Gerhard stared anxiously at the computer console. He typed in more instructions, then walked to a printout typewriter and began reviewing the long sheaf of green-striped sheets. He scanned them quickly, looking for the error he knew was there in the programmed instructions. The computer itself never made a mistake. Gerhard had used computers for nearly 10 years, different computers, different places, and he had never seen one make a mistake. Of course, mistakes occurred all the time, but they were always in the program, not in the machine. Sometimes that infallibility was hard to accept. For one thing, it didn't fit with one's view of the rest of the world, where machines were always making mistakes. Fuses blowing, stereos breaking down, ovens overheating, cars refusing to start. Modern man expected machines to make their fair share of errors. But computers were different, and working with them could be a humiliating experience. They were never wrong. It was as simple as that. Even when it took weeks to find the source of some problem, even when the program was checked a dozen times by as many different people, even when the whole staff was slowly coming to the conclusion that for once, the computer circuitry had fouled up, it always turned